finest cricketers in the history of the game. He was the last of the so-called three W's, alongside Sir Frank Worrell and Sir Clyde Walcott, who made the West Indies a formidable force in the 1940s and 50s. Everton Weeks was born in the New Orleans slum, right next to the Kensington Oval Test Ground in Bridgetown, the capital of Barbados. The Test Match special commentator Donna Simons says he was obsessed with sport from an early age.
He attended school but didn't really stay that long, and so he was always about playing either cricket, soccer, some game. So I think the talent was spotted quite early, and he was invited to join a local club, not a first-class club, not a first-class cricket club, but to join a league club, and he just progressed from there.
But the journalist B.C. Pires says Everton faced significant obstacles to pursuing his sporting career.
It's difficult for us to imagine how entrenched racism was 100 years ago in Barbados. But it was so deeply entrenched. And for Everton Weeks, growing up around the Oval, going to the Oval and getting a chance to bowl and bat and to develop, and to feel within him the power and grace that he would have had as a child, and to have his very humanity doubted any time he came into contact with anyone in any kind of power. I think apartheid South Africa might be the closest kind of comparison that we could make in modern times.
There was this line drawn where you're not supposed to be in certain parts of your own country at certain times of the day and that sort of thing. I didn't think at any stage that I'd be a professional cricketer. I couldn't think of anyone with colour who played cricket professionally then.
Everton Weeks, Frank Worrell and Clyde Walcott were all born within a mile of each other, all around Kensington Oval, and all about the same age. They would have reinforced one another in their striving to get better at their cricket. They would have had a common defence, or at least one another's support, in what would have been at the time a very hostile, racist society.
We were very tight friends, Frank, Clyde and myself. We would get together on Friday nights. We didn't overdo it, of course. Like some of the players now, I don't understand it. Nightclubs at 3 o'clock in the morning and things like that. You know, that did not exist.
What was his style as a batsman?
Pugnacious, very precise, very measured. But, you know, if the bad ball was there, he was going to put it away.
Cricket, lovely cricket. At last where I saw it. Cricket, lovely cricket. At last where I saw it. Yardley tried his best. Goddard won the test. They gave the crowd plenty fun. The second test on West Indies won.
This song celebrates the famous victory of the West Indies team in which Everton Weeks played such a pivotal role. In 1950, they came to the home of cricket, Lord's, and demolished the England team, going on to win the whole Test series. It happened at a defining moment as the former colonies were seeking independence.
For that tour, the three W's together made almost half the West Indies runs.
They represent a powerful challenge to English cricket. Everton Weeks, a Lancashire League player, is their batting star.
We were playing a very weak England side at the time too. They were just recovering from the war and things like that.
What happened was that West Indies beat England. You have to be a colonial. An Australian could understand that. An Indian could understand that.
And he's out LBW. Wardle is LBW. Snatches a stump. And the players are running off the field. And here come the ground staff to prevent an encroachment of the wicket. There are one or two West Indian characters running out on the field, waving their hats, and they're going to escort their team off the field. Such a sight never been seen before at Lord's.
To go to Lord's, the mecca of cricket, and beat the mother country, it's a feeling that you have to be first put upon to realise how sweet it is.
Now, Sir Everton Weeks holds this extraordinary record of having scored 5 consecutive centuries in Test matches, which is an amazing achievement, isn't it?
Undoubtedly. He went on a phenomenal run. Those five test matches in a row and contested so far. And no surprise, because this was someone who worked hard, extremely deliberative, so smart, so intelligent, made up his mind early in his career that, you know, he was going to play his cricket, but play with the percentages. And as you know, the famous story about Sir Everton, that he said he only hit 1-6. He was someone who decided, I'm not going to be dropped in any hurry.
He tried to avoid hitting sixes because he thought that was too risky.
Yes, he just said he was playing the percentages, and that's how he was.
What has been reaction to news of his death in Barbados?
Obviously some sadness, but he's been ill over the last couple of years, but it certainly is the last of the three Ws. It wasn't unexpected, but I think that it's still important when someone of that stature, magnitude, dies.
Yardley was broken-hearted when the second inning started.
To think about the legacy of Sir Everton Weeks is to think about the legacy of the three Ws. They were so intimately connected for all the important parts of their lives. At a time when it was unthinkable that a black man could walk with confidence and power and self-awareness to the centre of a cricket ground and begin lashing the ball all over the place, they were doing the same thing in the society. Without them, I don't think modern Caribbean society and Barbadian society would be in the same place it is now, where they could be celebrated in the way that they ought to have been when they started, with complete love and affection and appreciation and recognition.
After all was said and done,
memories of Sir Everton Weeks, who's died aged 95. Now, Baroness.